Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hi, everybody. I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Ben Holderness. Thank you so much for listening to the Holderness Family Podcast.
Today's podcast, I hope, will make you smile.
I really hope that all of them do. We have tackled some tough issues, and I'm glad that we have. But really, at the heart of it, we are goofy, silly people who do goofy, silly things. And we can't do those goofy, silly things without our goofy, silly Midwest neighbor.
So today's all about neighbors. And we have some really funny stories that you guys sent in about your neighbors. But we are going to interview the most famous neighbor there is. She is the most famous. I mean, can you think of a more famous neighbor?
I mean, there was the guy from Home Improvement, but no one ever saw his face.
See? So, okay. The most famous neighbor that you know her face. She is the Midwest neighbor. Okay. We went on Instagram and asked you a bunch of funny neighbor stories. And we're going to have those for you in a bit. But first, we don't think we've ever named her in a skit, have we?
We haven't, but people have figured it out.
Yes. Her name is Anne Marie Tapke. Anne Marie. Don't call her Anne. By the way, she's going to get mad if you call her Anne. Anne Marie makes frequent appearances in our sketches, but there's a lot you don't know about her. We've tried our best to be transparent that none of this that you see or hear happens with just us. We have Sam, who helps with editing and writing and graphics, and she's even appeared in some videos. We have Desmond, who helps coordinate stuff around the house, like getting props together or even picking up our kids from school. And we have an Anne Marie. And she is way more than just funny cameos on our videos. So, welcome to the pod.
Oh my gosh, Kim. This, what a special moment. Hey.
Hi.
Wait a minute. No, I'm glad you did that because that was going to be my first question. Yes. Like, are we going to have the Midwest neighbor? Or are we going to have, I think we're going to have both. Kind of like inside the Actor's Studio when Hank Azaria kept going into all of the different Simpsons characters.
Yeah, like that.
I want you to feel free to float effortlessly between the character and the person.
Yes. So there are two different, people always ask, is that real?
Yes.
And no, unfortunately, no. And I don't want anyone to get bummed out. I am from the Midwest.
Yes.
And the voice is not supposed to be offensive at all. It is very loving to me because it's a culmination of all of the hilarious Midwest people that I've encountered in my life.
And that you were raised by, right?
Totally. Yeah. You can't hear it until you move away.
Yes.
Anyone that's a transplant knows what I'm talking about.
I mean, you can turn it on so seamlessly, although you do sometimes have this sort of exercise, this voice exercise that you do to get in character.
Oh my gosh.
And we'll bleep it out, but I'd love you to show people how you get ready for the character.
Okay, guys, if there's kids in the car, just to go ahead and pop in your earbud real quick, okay? No,
we'll bleep it. We'll bleep it.
My sister Michelle, I call her, but I don't know if I've called her the last couple of videos, but I used to call her religiously before everything I did. And we wouldn't even say anything to each other except for biak piak, biak piak, sealid, asshole, asshole, biak piak, piak, piak. And then she'd be like, have a good video.
And then you'd be ready to go.
Now, and I didn't know any of that context. So we'd be getting ready to shoot. And I just all of a sudden hear her like walking around the corner going, asshole, backpack, asshole, backpack, with no context whatsoever.
You got to get the A in there,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I need to ask, there are some frequently asked questions every time you pop up in one of our videos. So I have some questions to hit. So before we get, you know, to the good stuff, are you our actual neighbor?
I wish I was.
I know.
We would have so much fun.
I know. There was a time when you were house hunting and I was sending you links around here, but you don't want to
live. I know. And then I jokingly said that I put an offer on the house behind you and you did get really excited for a minute. And I was like, Kim, I'm joking. And she's like, but why? Yeah.
I make it so easy.
You guys would be, here's the thing. You wouldn't cook at all if we were your neighbors because my husband, Steve, he would bring over everything he makes on the grill to you guys.
The Traeger that we had a Traeger and we're like, Pen, you don't freaking ever use this.
Use it once.
You guys said this about yourselves.
Yes.
No, us. And, yeah. We like, we need to put it to good use. It's this great grill. So
and then we were just humble Midwesterners. Yes. Oh, like that's just too much, you guys.
So we've hit the question. You are actually from the Midwest.
I am. I'm from Michigan. I'm from Novi, Michigan. I moved around a lot as a kid. I have lived in Southern Illinois. I lived in West Texas. Mm. But the Midwest, even though I lived in North Carolina for almost 16 years, which is crazy. I think 16, math is hard.
Yeah.
But the Midwest is always home base to me. It's always like that's my safe space.
Okay. What is your actual job with the Holderness
What
family?
Would you say?
What would you say you do here?
Great movie reference. I do a number of things. When I explain it to people, I tell them I'm a producer, writer, / business manager-ish?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that encompasses everything, so I help.
There's more. You do more.
You feel like there's more?
You're a tiebreaker.
Oh.
Oh.
You are a marriage counselor. You are, I'm just saying, like, these are other things that you've done. This is such a small, intimate partnership that we have. You're a partner. Like, that's another thing that you are. But sorry, I'm just going to throw that out there.
No, it's really nice of you to say, because it's hard to explain to people, but I explain to them that I help make your videos. So usually what happens is we write it and then I'll do something called a shot sheet. So I plan out what all the shots look like. So if you don't like the way they look,
it's Anne-Marie's fault.
Oh my gosh, you guys.
Give her
so
a break.
Sorry. But yeah,
here's
what
I'm imagining here.
Okay, Pen. So we're going to do a lot of slow-mo. Ben hates when I get too big in the slow-mos. He's like, okay, Marie, I get it.
Okay,
I get it. But then, yeah, I help write.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we've written some really fun stuff. In the pandemic, it was like a playground of writing. It was really fun and hard, but fun. And then, yeah, just managing the business stuff.
Well, I'm glad you said that because your job is, there's an accordion bit to it as well, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's some weeks you're doing a lot more of one thing and some when you're doing less of it. I think during pandemic times, it was just straight up writing. Right. Yeah. That was a huge part of it. We were remote.
Yeah. We were an assembly line.
But there are times that you're doing, I mean, you can be off and I'm like, it'd come back and I'm like, oh, Anne-Marie just did that. And so there's quite a few hats that you have to wear.
Yeah. But it's all fun. It's all fun. I pinch myself. I went to school for like marketing and advertising and I did do that for like over a decade. But I also did like improv comedy and theater. And this is such a good marriage of all those things.
Yeah. Tell us about your background, your training.
Always loved theater, did a lot of theater through high school, did theater in college, which was really cool. I wanted to major in theater, musical theater, and my parents were like, hey. We support you, but this is something you can always do throughout your life and you should have something that you can actually make money at for sure. Not that you can't, but for sure. So that was good advice.
I got that same speech.
But don't you? So that's funny. Both of you got that same speech.
Mm-hmm.
Penn, same. I mean, he was a musician, wanted to do something in music and his parents gave him that speech.
I just wanted jazz hands.
Lots of jazz hands.
So many jazz
hands. But both of you found your way to this line of work. So that's why, gosh, parents, like, what are we telling our kids? Because they're going to find it anyway. You know, an artist is going to find their way. So that's why I'm saying to my kids, like, if you want to be an artist now, just go be an artist. I don't know. Anyway, you found your way to it and you can make money. And we're glad we have you. We're glad we have you.
Yeah. I mean, Penn and I always talk about like, I grew up always loving comedy, by the way, obsessed with it. I mean, my parents were letting me watch SNL with them when I was like in middle school. Not that they were bad parents or anything, but I'd be up late and they'd be like, this is on. So, and then Weird Al, we've talked about Weird Al a bunch. Always loved Weird Al. I wrote, actually, I've wanted to bring it for you so many times. I performed in my senior year of my high school, I rewrote American Pie. to Ladywood High. That's where I went.
Aww.
And it was really fun. I performed in front of the whole school. It was a whole parody I did.
So, by the way, Anne Marie has a wonderful singing voice.
Yeah.
So we've talked about, like, and she's done, we've done a few, we did a musical Midwest versus the South. We'll probably do another one of those too.
That was a rap, which she's also proficient in, but she can sing. She can, I mean, she was, I mean, if you want to go way back to her history, which I don't know if people are interested in this, but before we did, we're called the Holderness Family, and we just were, you know, making production videos largely for other people. We hired Anne Marie to be the principal in a video that we did for a hospital about having a baby in a women's center.
Yeah.
And so, like, that was, was that our first paid gig with you? Or because we've
used
you in a lot of other, you were working for Green Room at that time, right?
Yeah, okay. I was working for your company. That's right. But then we jokingly said I should audition to the client, in front of the client. And then they were like, well, actually, will you audition then? And I said, oh, sure. So did a little video.
Okay, here's what had happened. The timeline, because I want to get into the first time you got on, you appeared in one of the videos. We joke your name is Math Marie because you solve problems through like math and marketing and numbers. So if there's like a, she worked for a traditional marketing agency and we worked together in that. Mm-hmm. And you were always this unicorn of, you had the great ideas, but then you could also look at the analytics of something and, you know, you can get into the weeds of numbers. And it was this like very unicorn of a person. And then you had your third baby, maybe? You had your third baby, and you decided to take a break from that, like, full-time craziness. And after you had a little break, we were like, oh, hey, Anne-Marie, I hear you were hanging out. Do you want to come hang out with us now?
I love hanging out.
Do you want to just hang out with us now? And so you came and did all that magic stuff with us, and Penn said she's the tiebreaker. Literally, we were in marriage counseling. And then you came to work with us and our marriage got better because you are the tiebreaker. And if Anne Marie says it's this way, we're like, okay, well, let's go with what Anne Marie says. And then that way, if it's wrong, we could just blame you instead of each other. I'm kidding. But, you know, so that you'd been working with us behind the scenes for a couple of years, maybe.
Yeah.
And for then sure. It got frigid cold here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was actually February of 2021.
And I think I had this conversation with Anne Marie. It was like, oh gosh, it's going to be so cold. And you're like, no, it's not. I'm like, no, it's actually really cold. And you're like, no, it's not. This isn't cold. I'm like, okay, this is a sketch. And the sketch wrote itself. Right?
It didn't take long to write.
You and I remember exactly where I was, and you told me, you're like, I think we should do this video. I think it should be you and me. And I'd never been on camera before with you guys on your channel, like in this capacity, having like speaking roles or whatever. And so, I remember you and I were in the Google Doc writing it together that morning, and I came over
That day.
At like lunch, and we did it.
Yeah. So it was, I called you in the morning, we wrote it, and then we shot it. I think, should we play like the first minute of that video?
Sure.
Okay.
I've got it right here.
Over to the backyard and have a little cactus?
Are you kidding? It's 33 degrees and raining.
I know. It's like spring break, eh?
No, it's freezing right now.
No, it's not.
Look at the Weather Channel headline. Historic winter invasion.
Invasion? Oh, honey, it's downright balmy to me. I'm getting hot just talking to you.
I get it. You grew up in the Midwest, but I'm from the South.
Just a few degrees warmer, and this is like bathing suit weather.
Well, here, they cancel schools for this.
One time, I had to dig myself out of the front door just to catch the bus.
What?
I had to run after it on black ice in my Converse tennis shoes.
This is historic. It snowed in Texas.
Yeah, honey, that's not real snow.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
It was like 3 to 5 inches.
Oh, gosh, that's a dusting at best.
Look, so what you don't see by listening is she is in a tank top and jean shorts, and I am in a full parka because it was cold. Even now.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
It's not. People said this morning was cold. It was 50. I was like, oh, this is refreshing.
I'm in a sweatshirt.
I'm like, definitely in shorts.
And we will be right back.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy.
Opening up to a therapist might feel uncomfortable, cathartic, exhausting, or even exhilarating. But one thing's for certain, if you keep talking or texting with a licensed therapist, you will gain insights and uncover truths that you can only find in therapy.
Get those personal breakthroughs and judgment-free support by signing up for Talkspace.
At Talkspace.com, you can sign up online and get a personalized match with a provider that's right for you, typically within 48 hours.
There's no need to commute to appointments, miss time at work, or line up childcare in order to attend sessions. It's mental health care made easy.
Talkspace is also affordable and in-network with most major insurers.
To celebrate May, Mental Health Awareness Month, and the power of talking it out in therapy, Talkspace is offering every listener of this podcast $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com/Holderness.
To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/Holderness to get $80 off your first month with code SPACE80. And to show your support for the show.
That's Talkspace.com/Holderness with code SPACE80. And so what, when I called and said, can you come over and be in this video? What was your reaction? What was going through your brain hole?
So I had to call because of how my childcare was set up at that time. I did have to call my sister-in-law to come over and watch my kids.
Yeah.
At least the ones that were not in school. So I remember like, hey, and she was like, what are you doing? And I was like, I don't know. I was like, it might be terrible, but like, cause you never know how those things are going to go. And we did shoot it very quickly because Kim was cold.
I was cold.
You were like cold.
One take.
We had some other challenges. It's so funny. Like we shoot like two videos a day or three videos a day, especially during this time of year. And so like, I think we were outside for 20 minutes for this entire thing. And it was the first time we'd seen your actual character like in person and not just you kind of joking around about what Midwesterners say. And I remember like giggling out loud a lot during some of your line deliveries. I never giggled harder. I don't know why it was. You saying, no, it's not.
No, it's not.
Just over and over again. And it was such a simple thing. And, you know, we're still learning about acting and about comedy. But sometimes like the smallest things are the funniest things. And I just remember every time you said that, I had to like kind of swallow a laugh because it perfectly embodied, at least my experience being from the South, how people very sweetly respond to me when I say it's cold. And I'm sure you're the same way, right, Kim?
Yeah. And I, by the way, that video did extremely well.
Yeah.
The minute we posted it, it was shared. I think it has almost 2 million views on YouTube, which for YouTube on our channel is pretty great. And it has millions and millions of views on Facebook and Instagram. So I think it became very obvious that sort of sweet Midwest character should have a place in what we do. So there have been more frequent.
Oh yeah. It's its own vertical now.
Yeah. It's its own sort of, it's taken on a life of its own. You have your own Instagram.
I do.
Instagram where people can follow your Midwest antics. And we'll put a link to that in the show notes and you can follow along.
You guys are really nice to say that. It was definitely a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun. I think people really resonate with the regional stuff and especially the stuff like, I don't know about where anyone's from that's listening, but in Raleigh, if you meet someone from Raleigh, like, I mean, Penn, you're from Durham, but that's like pretty rare. A lot of people are from other places. So I think it just resonated with a lot of people.
Because you are, you know, you are such a smarty pants about all of this stuff. And we even have a lot of sort of other creator friends that call you to pick your brain about all this. What would you say? I mean, what is the sort of like your favorite sort of content to make on or off camera? Like, what's the stuff and why do you think some videos do well and some don't?
It's really hard to predict that. I know we're getting in the weeds. Yeah. So hopefully this is interesting for people to hear. But it's really hard to predict what's going to do well and what is not going to do well. It's hard to not fall into the trap of like, oh, that did well. Let's just do like the part two, the part three, the part four. But then sometimes that stuff works. The stuff that is always exciting for me to make is I do have a notes app where I keep all of my ideas, just any ideas, like bits, scripts, songs, whatever, stuff for my channel, stuff for your guys' channel. And the stuff that I like making the most is stuff that's been in that notes app for like, you know, it's like, eh, and then you keep coming back to it.
Yeah.
Also, I do like the stuff that we make as a group when it moves really quickly. So like the video we just talked about is a good example. Kim and I wrote it that morning. We shot it that afternoon. Can we give props to Penn? Because he edited it and we had it out by 4 p.m. that day.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
That was the same day edit?
Yes. Yes, that's true. I remember that. Yeah. Because we're like, should we start posting at 4 o'clock now? And we're like, okay, maybe it was just a really good video.
Well, we wanted to hit it when like the snow was coming. Like the snow was moving into the south.
That's right.
I remember I FaceTimed my parents and I had them watch it while I was on mute. And it was really fun for them to get their reaction.
Can I ask you, what is the most annoying thing about working for Kim and Penn Holderness?
It's funny you guys call me the tiebreaker, because on the flip side, if both of you really want to do something and I don't want to do it, yeah, I'm just like, well, that's just how the cookie crumbles.
Yeah. So the most annoying thing.
That's not the
being
most annoying thing.
Ganged up.
No.
It is interesting, though, because we are a triangle. And I think every single one of us has that feeling at some point. So I want you to know that you're not alone there. Like if
there's a song you got, cause she's, you know, writes a lot of music, lyrics, stuff with Penn. If there's a song you guys are both gung ho on and I'm like, you guys, I'm like, I'm stepping out of this one. So yes, I think
it is a good system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I'll tell you the most annoying thing.
Okay. Oh, good.
And it's not even like, if you guys get in like a marriage tiff, it's like, I just, you know, I'm just quiet. And
yeah.
You know, I mean, it's usually when we're driving. So I'm just like, I'll
driving
take my email
with
in the back seat real quick.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have FOMO because I don't like to miss a good time. Okay. So if you guys get super excited about something and you guys are like, we're just going to do it here. We're going to do it right now. We're going to shoot in 5 minutes. It's like, I don't live 5 minutes from you because I'm not your real neighbor.
Oh.
So that's, I think my FOMO is
were you
probably
upset?
The most annoying.
We just did that.
Were you upset about the
video?
Michael McDonald next door video?
I wasn't upset because it was really funny.
Okay.
And honestly,
you were a little sick. So we were like,
yeah. Just a little crud going around.
Yeah.
But, no, I think that's like, it's not annoying, but it's just like,
That's a nice answer. You dodged a bullet there. That was kind of like in
a
college.
It's a nice Midwest
answer,
isn't it?
That's like in a college audition and they ask a college interview where they're like, what's your biggest weakness? And it's like, I care too much.
I try too hard.
I'm a perfectionist. That's my weakness.
That's my weakness is that I make everything right.
Well, so I want to keep learning. I'm actually learning some stuff about Anne-Marie right now because we haven't really sat down and talked. It seems like every time we're talked, it's the sausage factory, right? Like we're making the sausage. But I do want to also, I think we've got a good segue when talking about Michael McDonald, about Neighbors and Next Door and a lot of these other things.
So if you're listening to this, I think today, or I'm trying to go into the today machine, we published a video on YouTube and Instagram and the TikTok and the Facebook about Michael McDonald narrating Next Door messages or
and give the people a little preview.
Should we give a little? I think it's one of those things you need to see it, but I think we should definitely play a little clip.
Oh, you want to play the clip? Yep.
Get a clip?
So if you don't understand the words, that's on you for not listening to enough Michael McDonald, because Michael McDonald doesn't make much sense, or he does make sense. He just kind of he sings like he's got marbles in his mouth. But this is just
so
like,
the idea I've been wanting to do some sort of the Next Door app in our neighborhood is very it's very popular. So people are on it, and the things they complain about bring me so much joy,
right?
Because they're complaining about things that are just the stupidest thing.
Well, in our neighborhood, there was there were two goats doing it in public, and that was a next door post.
That was one of the best
about teaching your goats better manners.
Have better manners because the goats were having business in public.
And exactly.
Like, where else are goats going to do?
Also, how do you teach some manners?
And
how
okay.
When a goat loves another goat very much, they find a private place to show their love for each other.
That's when you just make up stories. You're like, oh gosh, they're playing leapfrog, okay?
They're playing leapfrog and he got stuck.
Just wrestling.
He's giving him a hug.
Did you ever like walk?
Mommy and daddy are wrestling.
I know. We do have people who listen with their kids in the car.
So yeah, they're wrestling.
Oh, pop that earbud in real quick once.
Oh, I'm not going to ask you to tell the story, Penn, about your parents, but that's
good.
He's horrified right now.
Yeah.
The look in his eyes. There was a lot of love.
No, when I was like 32 years old, I walked in on my parents doing it.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, did you slow clap them? Because that's kind of impressive.
No, I went back to because I was, Kim was there too.
I wasn't there.
We should just tell the story.
No, but this went from Midwest neighbor to walking in on your parents.
My parents were good enough to put us up when we were closing on a house here in Raleigh. We moved from New York. We had like no furniture because in New York you have room for like a chair. You're sitting in the only chair that we had in our entire apartment.
It's a nice chair, you guys. It's nice.
And so like, it was like the last night. I'd avoided this for an entire month. And my parents have one thermostat and it's in their flipping bedroom. That's what happens with old houses. And so, but it's like, there's like a little walkway into their bedroom. They had it redone. And it's, so I just kind of opened the door to switch the thermostat out because my parents like the temperature to be 9,000 degrees and I can't sleep in that. So I'm going to slip the thermostat and I just hear these noises. Okay. I'm not going to do the noises except that, like they didn't sound.
You sound like you're about to do them. He's like, I'm not going to do them, but they sounded like.
And so I'm like frozen and I hear like, I turn the thermostat down and I just try to slink away and I'm like, oh God. And I hear, is somebody in here?
Oh no.
So they knew I was there. I was there. I heard it. I can't unhear it. And then so Kim and I are sleeping in the room next
adjacent,
door,
yeah.
And Kim claims, I don't remember this part, that I just got on top of the covers, I didn't change out of my clothes, I just like a corpse.
He just got on top of the covers. He's like, I just walked in on something that I was not supposed to know about. And he just he woke up at 7 a.m. the next day still with this little business suit on.
And you, of course, because it wasn't your parents that you walked in on doing it, thought it was amazing and were slow clapping them. And I think I've adopted that feeling as well. But also, I can't unhear it.
Okay, there's a lot of love.
Okay.
So much love.
Okay, so we were talking about neighbors. We went to... Oh, I'm sorry. We were going to play the thing. I'm sorry.
We don't have to.
No, let's play. Let's play a clip.
Here's Michael McDonald narrating Next Door.
This is what Michael McDonald sounds like reading Next Door. Complaints. I need a used stroller for my baby duck. I have three unopened bottles here of 1,000 Island Dress, and both of them expired. I just watched a man staring at pictures of Gary Busey.
We can stop.
Okay, you have to read the messages. But yeah, some really, really good messages about neighbors left on the Nextdoor app. So that being said, we asked you guys on Instagram to send us your funniest, weirdest neighbor stories. And I would say the first message we got back, someone said, my neighbor likes to work out his punching bag to the Christian version of Eye of the Tiger. He does this in the backyard with the music turned way up. So that being said, what do you guys believe the Christian version of Eye of the Tiger?
I'm already dying.
Sounds like. What, okay, you have the. Let's hear it, Anne-Marie. What is the.
It's the Eye of the Father.
See? Eye of the Father. I'm going to say Eye of the Jesus. But like,
Eye of the Jesus is. Okay, so let's. We're just. As I've seen it. I can't guess here.
Eye of the Father.
Anne-Marie's going with Eye of the Father.
I was saying Eye of the Jesus.
You went Eye of the
lyrics,
Jesus.
By the way.
Eye of the Father.
Okay.
Ready to. Fight? You're good cat.
He is the light.
Oh, good cat.
Well, I mean, so rising up from the tomb on Easter.
We're going to write it right now.
Let's write it. Let's write
Any
it.
Any Christian music producers listening.
Okay, you guys.
I got it down.
Listen,
I
mean, I'm going.
To, she's a good Catholic girl, so let's hear it.
I'm gonna play this thing, and then I have a lot of thoughts.
Okay.
Afterwards. A lot of thoughts.
Okay.
I can't wait.
You need to watch it too. Rising up,
back on my feet. Okay. God knocked down, rose above it. Okay. Hopeful.
Wait for the rap.
There's a rap. I will thrive, I will not just survive. I mean, okay.
Before I was a Christian, something was missing.
Okay. Decision, got a new vision, wrote my goals, yeah, wrote my mission. Oh, BC, I was aimlessly walking. Then one day, heard the voice of God talking. Okay. Rise up, child, to the enemy, mocking. Prayer is your weapon, pray without stopping. Oh, they still do Eye of the Tiger.
Oh, they could have redone this chorus.
I feel like they really missed an opportunity.
A Heart of the Lion.
Okay.
We've already.
I'm sorry. Stop. We're done. I mean, as a good Catholic girl, I feel like you could have helped them with those.
I really could.
Yeah. Anyway. All
right, I've got thoughts.
You've got thoughts. What are they?
First of all, contemporary Christian music. I am a fan.
Oh, totally.
I think I grew up with a dad as a pastor. I think hymns are.
I love a good hymn.
I know you do, but they get a little
sleepy.
Get a little sleepy, and you can do some hymns. I applaud churches who are changing to more contemporary music, and so like seeing this, I think I used to cringe at it, but now I want to like applaud people who have the courage to do it. Also, bravery, like for these guys, they posted this on TikTok, and I think they knew that they might get some backlash about it being cringy, and they don't care. This guy's dancing and rapping, and he's talking about Jesus in his way. Good for him. If you're working out. And you have access to the actual...
Do you like the compliment sandwich that he's making right now? He's really crafting a good one.
We do really cringy.
He gave a lot of great compliments. He's going into the meat.
I want to ask the guy, if you're working out and you have access to the original Eye of the Tiger on...
Maybe that's too violent for him.
Spotify. It's the same song, except the guy raps in the middle. Mm-hmm. And you're like, should I listen? Because I'm boxing. Should I listen to the Survivor version?
He's fighting the devil.
Which is the theme song of Rocky III, a movie about boxing. Or should I listen to the Christian version? And you choose the Christian version.
Slow clap for you. Yeah.
Slow clap for you.
But full volume in the backyard.
Full volume in the backyard. So I really did love that.
Can I also say, here's where I feel like I'm an old crotchety woman. And where do you stand on this, Anne-Marie? Music at the beach. I go to hear some waves. I like a quiet beach experience. We go out of our way. We drive extra far to get to a beach that is very scarcely populated. And we went last weekend and there was a group of people who had a boombox. No, they had there.
That little soundbar.
Yeah. And their music was fine. I was so annoyed because I'm like, I didn't come here to listen to, the music was fine. It was like country music. I'm not opposed to country music. I just don't know a lot of country music. I'm like, how confident do you have to be to play your music in a public space full blast? Like, I'm just not that confident.
I got some follow-ups here. Okay. So there's a couple factors that go in. First of all, how good is your playlist? Are you reading the beach?
Right.
Are you reading the beach? Is this a dance party? Is this a yacht rock situation?
Right. I mean,
how good are you at your amateur DJ skills? Number one. Number two, I'm cool with it if it's like you've got the little Bluetooth. You're like, you're just enjoying it. You can hear it as you walk by. I was actually just on a girl's trip to the beach, and a couple times we were like, we should have brought a Bluetooth, because actually it was pretty scarce where we were.
Yeah.
But we did walk down to like the party side of the beach, and there was lots of music blaring, and all different genres.
And I expect that. And I grew up in Florida, very crowded public beach. I mean, it was super noisy, but we go so far out of the way to find something. And so that's just me being an old crotchety lady.
I'm very anti music on the beach. If it, if it permeates past like your 10-foot buffer zone.
Okay.
That you're mm-hmm. sitting in. Like, I think if it's a really crowded beach, first of all, if you can find a less crowded beach, do it. It's just, it's better. But there's sometimes you just can't find anything but a crowded beach. If that's the case, like, I think most people are with you, Kim, that they like to hear the sounds of the ocean.
Okay. You know where you and Steve would like totally agree on that? Yeah. He cannot stand it if we go camping and he can hear someone's music.
Oh, camp. That's interesting too. I didn't think about camping.
He will like have a fit. Well, just a quiet fit. You can see it in his eyes.
So my beach, camping and a hike. I'm not going to call it a hike, but there's some trails around here. And I go out there to not hear anything. And somebody was blaring a podcast. And I was like, come on, guys. Tim Ferriss can wait.
Can you imagine you're behind that guy the whole time?
And they're listening to this podcast. Okay. Anyway, we were talking about neighbors. This is how our meetings go, by the way.
Yeah.
They'll go an hour and a half and we'll not talk about anything. Okay.
We got some voicemails. We have a landline. I'm so always.
Yeah, one of those see-through phones.
I'm
it lights
so
up.
Proud of this because we asked people to call our phone our to leave messages. And it is the pinnacle of technology. I know everyone thinks that it's ChatGPT. But we're like, guys, we're introducing a new thing here where you can call us on a telephone and leave a message.
I know.
Isn't that amazing?
But it is nice to hear people's voices.
Well, look, so we've got neighbor stories. We've got quite a few. Chrissy from Seattle. And I want to play her first because this one's about just how great neighbors can be.
Yeah.
Oh, I love this. Right?
My name is Chrissy from Seattle. And I want to tell you about the best neighbors in the whole wide world. Our neighbors are Hawaiian, which is important because it is a culture of gifting and love and just kind of generosity. So we always joke that we're in a gifting war with them because they'll give us something and then we'll give them something back to say thank you. And then they will give us something back to say thank you for the thank you. And it will never end and we will never win because they are way nicer than us. But my favorite story is we were getting ready to move overseas temporarily, and my husband was already there, and there was a freak snowstorm, and I was stuck in the house with two toddlers, and a tree fell down at the end of my driveway. And within an hour of waking, my neighbor and his brother-in-law had come over and chainsawed the tree up. So because they didn't feel like it was safe for me not to be able to get out of my house. And it was almost like the event had never happened. So they are just the best neighbors in the whole wide world. And I wanted everyone to know.
I have goosebumps. That makes me like people more.
That's really, really sweet.
Oh, Chrissy, thank you.
On average, you have two next door neighbors. Mm-hmm. Like one across the street neighbor and a couple of catty corner neighbors, right? Mm-hmm. You have like, usually everyone's got four or five neighbors. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. I think everyone's got one neighbor just with a heart of gold. Mm-hmm. They've got one neighbor that they wish they'd known better. Mm-hmm. They haven't really had a chance to go get to meet. They have one neighbor they're like probably really, really close with. And they like are comfortable calling and saying, hey, what do you want to do for the cul-de-sac? And then there's like, of those five, is there ever like one neighbor where you're like, I don't really know.
We're human beings. So yeah. I have to say we hit the jackpot on our street.
We really did.
Yeah.
That's why I'm asking that question. Cause I like all of our neighbors.
Yeah.
But it's fine. I'm sitting here thinking about it as he's telling this story. And I don't think I have a close enough relationship with my neighbors.
We have actual Midwest neighbors, like our neighbors from the Midwest who we're very, very close to. But no, you're super good friends with people on the street.
I guess I am. I don't know. I just like...
Yeah. They're just not... You know, and we had a tree come down and they took a chainsaw to it.
During the hurricane.
Yeah.
That was amazing. You're right. Like during tragedies, that's when they kind of, come out. I don't know. I'm just sitting here thinking about neighbors. It's just a stream of consciousness.
Okay.
I've noticed from growing up and as an adult, whenever I'm living in a place that we don't have a lot of family there, that's where we tend to make like really, really good tight connections with our neighbors. And I'm a bad person to ask because I've had wonderful experiences both as a kid and an adult with neighbors and like neighbors that almost have become like family.
Yeah.
I mean, my very first friend when I was five, we've been friends for over 30 years. And like, she was my neighbor.
She was your neighbor.
Yeah. And we're friends with her whole family. She's one of six girls.
Neighbors are the best.
I guess the reason I was talking about some people have neighbors they're not sure about, I'd like to read a story from Spencer.
Okay. Oh, you're trying to do a segue.
Okay.
Spencer said, my neighbor asked to borrow our shop vac. A few weeks later, I was looking out an upstairs window and he was in his backyard with my shop vac. He had attached a wire hanger to the end of the vacuum so he didn't need to bend over and was vacuuming up his dog's poop. He has three dogs and there was a lot of cleanup. Never got it back. Never asked for it.
Oh, gosh. Who would want that back?
Oh.
Spencer.
I'm not mad at Spencer. Spencer was nice enough not to ask for his shop vac back.
First of all, shop vac is not free.
No.
Those things are can be a little spendy.
Also, like,
that is bad.
I know you, Kim, if I'm using a knife and the knife, like, touches something that has raw meat on it, you just throw it away.
Not
raw meat, but you, like, you definitely
I don't throw
have
it away,
a,
but like I have a food safety thing. Like,
yes.
You can't like stir the raw like ground beef with the, yeah. Anyway, I
what would happen to you if someone,
I would move. Obviously. I do have to say, we have, there's a neighbor who she's around the corner. I wish I knew her a little bit better, but she was bit by a copperhead snake.
Oh, no.
A couple years ago. And so the vet or the doctor said you should get like two outdoor cats. So she has two outdoor cats. So she just feeds, but they kind of circle the block. And we posted on Instagram stories recently, Penn, you did, about the cat was in our driveway kind of fighting with a snake. And obviously, I was like, we have to sell the house now because there's a snake there. But I showed the video to her and she's like, oh, yeah, that's little Mitzi. She'll fight any snake. And she's like, oh, do the cats bother you at all? Because I know they roam around. I was like, lady, let me Venmo you some money for cat food. Get some more cats, all the cats you can if they're going to fight snakes. So those are good neighbors.
It's a good example of how, you know, it's everyone's got their own ecosystem, but your neighbors are part of it. And
right.
Mitzi, part of our ecosystem.
Yeah.
Part of the
keeping
ecosystem.
Us from moving because her cat gets after snakes. More yard work. Okay. Christopher and his lawnmower is our next story. We ready?
Okay. Hello, this is Christopher Perry. I'm from Orlando, Florida. I used to cut the grass a lot when I was back at home. And we don't live on a busy road, but me, I was cutting the grass and I like to have headphones in and listen to music. And I just get in the zone, and so I'd be dancing and talking and singing the songs I'm listening to. And I would see, like, literally my next-door neighbor, an older guy, older policeman, and he just, like, was looking and laughing at me. And I didn't know he was looking for a while.
Oh.
Dance it out, man.
Hey, man, feel your feelings. Do you know what our neighbors see in this? And, like, across the street, they've sold their house, and they said it was because they're sick of looking at I'm kidding, they've retired. But what's next, Ben?
Kara in Raleigh. She's cat sitting. Feels like there's a lot of animals involved in a lot of these.
Hi, I'm Kara. I'm from Raleigh, and I have a neighbor story. So my next-door neighbor was a young couple, just like us, childless. They went on vacation, and we were taking care of their cat. They took care of our cat when we went away. The last morning of their vacation, I went over to feed the cat, and the alarm went off. Out comes my neighbor's husband in his underwear from his bedroom. They had come home a day early. Needless to say, we were a little closer after that, and then our kids grew up together. Love neighbors.
I love that.
I think this is a good segue into the time that Penn walked downstairs with no pants on.
We did tell this story a couple years ago on the podcast, but
great
one.
Okay.
You had to wait till the very end for it.
I have not seen
Penn in his underwear. Just to be clear, I want to be clear. I have seen Penn, though, without pants on, pulling a shirt over his knees.
Which really is more coverage than the average person gets, but I'm
with
sure it was very
in his eyes, looking at me, forgetting I was downstairs, saying, I don't have any pants on.
No, he knew you were downstairs.
I didn't know I didn't have any pants on.
But he didn't know he didn't have any pants on. It was very ADD. He was in the middle
Listen,
of the conversation.
ADHD.
We had like 14 costume changes that day. I remember that.
He was like, oh yeah, so anyway. And he's like, oh, snap. And he pulled his shirt down before she saw anything. And there we go.
Don't you feel like you've seen one of your neighbors at some point in their underwear? Like it seems like that's a fairly common story just by accident, either from that or like running the recycling out to the street or doing something?
My dad used to mow the lawn, and we had like an acre. We had a huge lawn, and in his Speedo.
Yeah, he did.
Because
was this during the mustache years?
Yes.
Okay.
And killing it.
He just wanted a very even tan and no tan lines, so he wore a Speedo.
Oh my God.
To mow the lawn.
And how old were you? Were you a
too young?
Too young. I was too young to see that. Oh, so you weren't like a teenager?
No. Okay. By that time, I think his sense had been knocked into him. But I have, I think I could probably even find a picture of it. But yeah, Ken okay. Dean liked to rock the mower.
Well, there was that picture you had on, and then I put it on our refrigerator because it was amazing, of your dad lying on
like a leisure suit.
He was lying on the bed in a leisure suit with one elbow up and just a full-on Magnum PI mustache, not smiling, like smoldering.
He was a smolder. Ooh.
And I love that picture. Yeah. So our last call in is from Doug. Doug, it's going to take Doug a while, and Doug is my favorite. I want you to know that in the middle, when he describes the person he sees at his door, the word he's saying is tenor, the tenor. And that'll make sense because it was a little hard to understand.
Okay.
But I want you to hear this story.
Got it.
Hello, this is Doug, and I'm in, I'm between Boston and New York. I commute back and forth. The story is in Houston, Texas, a few years ago. We finished a performance of the opera, and it's very late at night, and I have pro wrestling on, just to kind of, you know,
as one
calm
does.
Down. Calm down.
And all of a sudden, about midnight, there's a knock on my door. Who the hell is knocking on my door, you know, in the apartment at midnight? And I look, and it's the tenor. This is a very, very well-known tenor. And I open the door, and I say, "Buongiorno, che fai?" And he falls right by me. He says, "His wife's asleep." And he goes, and he puts the wrestling on, and the two of us, like two little kids, and he's a noted international artist. I'm not. But we're like two little boys watching pro wrestling in the middle of the night. And he with pillows, and we had a great time. Oh. And I always remember his genuineness from that.
Oh.
I thought you'd enjoy the story, too. That's something from the opera world. I enjoy your podcasts, and I enjoy your videos tremendously. You've helped me get out of COVID. God bless.
Oh my gosh, that was so sweet.
So, okay, first of all, thank you for such a sweet message. That was so sweet. Who's the tenor?
It could be Luciano Pavarotti. It could be Placido Domingo.
He was famous.
He said it was an internationally known tenor. It could be Rolando.
Can we also touch on the fact that he watches pro wrestling after the opera to calm down.
Yeah.
To calm down.
I kind of vibe with that because I watch a lot. Like, I watch sci-fi to calm down. And a lot of times that's a little dense. And people watch weird things to calm down. But, so I guess the guy heard it through the walls.
And wanted to
come watch pro wrestling.
You know, it's almost strange when somebody comes knocks on your door now. Right. So if somebody came to knock on your door at 11 o'clock at night, if a neighbor comes to the door, you assume like, oh gosh, something.
I'm making noise.
Yes.
I've done something wrong.
Yeah. So you have one more for us, Ben?
Well, I'm going to let Anne-Marie read this one because, of course, again, Anne-Marie is a part of our data collection and creative. And this is a Midwest story, correct?
Yeah. A little background. Our sweet friend Melissa from the Midwest.
Yeah.
She wrote us a great story. It was about four times the length of what I'm going to read. Aww. But I am a Midwest interpreter.
Okay.
So I feel like I was able to truncate. Melissa, you can DM me if I missed any good details. We're happy to correct it if I did.
Midwest translator. Love it.
Should I read it in the neighbor voice?
You should.
Okay. Yes, please.
Yes, please.
Oh, gosh. Here's what happened. I was dog sitting my aunt and uncle's boxer puppy, and I actually know their neighbor. I worked with her at a time, which makes the story even worse. Around dinner time, I let the pup outside. I thought I would go out too, and I would sit and I would read for a little bit, and I got comfortable. I was a few pages in when I heard the pup playing in a bush and an occasional squeak. I thought she found an old toy. But as I looked up, I saw that instead she had found a little chipmunk in her mouth.
Aww.
As soon as the chipmunk got the chance, he ran and the pup ran after. I didn't want either one of them to get hurt, so I grabbed the pup, brought her inside. The chipmunk, instead of leaving the yard, ran into the corner by the door, which is by where we were going, and then in the only place to find refuge, which was up my pant leg.
So the chipmunk has gotten away from the dog and crawled up Melissa's...
Just right up the pants.
Okay.
Oh, right up the pants.
No.
I did not know what to do. I've obviously never had this happen before. Now I'm paraphrasing. Or how to get the chipmunk out of my pants without being bitten. So I jumped out of my jeans and I ran in my skivvies into the house with the barking dog. All of the neighbors were outside grilling, but I was hoping that nobody saw me. The next day,
good boss.
I went into work and I was paged over the intercom system as soon as their neighbor/my coworker got in. I got into her office. She was my boss at the time. And she said, look, I hate to ask. I don't want to pry.
I don't want to pry, but...
But why were you running around in your underwear with a dog at dinner time last night? When I told her the story, she laughed so hard. But the only reason that she believed me was because she knew there was a chipmunk nest in the juniper bush. Say hi to your folks. Watch out for deer and watch out for chipmunks. Melissa, that was
wow.
The best.
Thank you for delivering it in that format. That was great. I can
it was
attest.
Probably too much.
I can attest that the actual story was 14 pages long. No,
I love the dedication. You
know that we can't tell a short story.
No, of course.
Midwesterners. I run into this all the time. And then you go on 17 tangents and you have to circle back. It's a whole thing. It's a whole rigmarole.
But I do think that like your descriptiveness is a superpower for that region. Because I think that everyone comes out of the Midwest as a pretty good storyteller. Right? Like I've not heard a boring story from the Midwest. They know how to spin a yarn.
Is that the term?
We know how to spin a good yarn.
It's spin a
damn yarn. Yeah, it is.
I'm going to steal that one. I like it. No, there's great storytellers in the Midwest.
Okay. So I feel like maybe we didn't get to all of the facts about Anne-Marie. What else are we missing about Anne-Marie? I mean, it's not going to be the last time we hear from her on this podcast.
I mean, I do think that her Genesis story is really interesting. I mean, she mentioned that she took up improv.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what do you want to be when you grew up, when you were sitting in your room? I know that there was one particular thing that you wanted to be when you were in high school, and that was in a girl band.
My mom was concerned at one point because she like found a notebook of mine. This sounds so conceited, so I apologize. This is not Midwest humble right now. But I had been practicing my signature for when I got famous.
I mean,
I had done several pages, of course. I mean, I have to be able to get it down super quick. I'm going to be signing a lot of things.
For a lot of fans.
Clearly.
I love that.
I at one point, I wanted to be like an author. I was really into books. Yes, I did want to be in a girl group. Indirect.
You were in a girl group.
I was in a, there's photos. We did go to Sears. We got photos done. Maybe we'll throw one in for the people.
Didn't you perform?
We did perform at a couple of like middle school dances.
Yeah.
They would like let us open for the dance.
And the songs you sang, they were really age appropriate?
Oh, totally. We did Everybody by the Backstreet Boys.
Okay.
Definitely said the word sexual in it. We also did a great national anthem, I will say.
Oh, okay.
So the middle school rival game, we did roll up in like the most, like the oldest limousine you can think of. It probably...
You rolled up in a limousine?
Six. Yes. We were really, really dumb. We like... put all our money together from the summer. We got this limo. All of our parents were like, you have to have a chaperone. We're not doing this. Like, this is crazy. We called our boss from our summer job and she was like, I'm down. And we went with her. We had like sunglasses on at night. It's so embarrassing to look at the pictures now.
I love this. My hope is that my kids are this passionate about
something. We were wearing
matching
windsuits. I mean, there's a lot of photos, guys.
All right. So you're practicing your signatures. You didn't... You did improv comedy. There was a part of you.
Yeah, improv was actually my adult life. So I had a job right out of college. I was really depressed. It was depressing. I was in like cold call sales. It was a rough time in my life. And I was telling my now husband at the time, because we were together, I was like, I need to find something to do. And so I went and took improv classes, and then I ended up like on an improv team for a couple years before we all had kids. It was really fun.
And then you went into working for the auto industry, right? Social media part of the auto industry for Ignite. I remember that there was that part.
Part of my job was I got to Jeep, like a national account. I helped do their social media marketing, and Chrysler as well.
Right. So then that company relocated here.
They were always here. That was the craziest part.
Oh, sorry. I gotcha.
They were always here, but then we won the account in Detroit. And so because I'm from there, I mean, I got asked to move back so many times, but I didn't want to leave. I liked it down here. And I do love Michigan, but I had just gotten down here. So it was like, haven't really like explored all there is to explore yet.
But the way that we cross each other's paths, I think, is interesting.
So interesting.
And so I thought I would... I'm going to start this story and then hand it off to Anne-Marie, but she showed up at the TV station where I was at the time. I was a sports anchor, and someone, I can't remember who, was interviewing her about social media. Right. Do you remember the exact pretense of what that was?
Well, I had been on the news one or two times before you and I met.
That's right.
Only because people weren't available at my like agency at the time. And I was like the fourth or fifth person they went down the line on.
Yeah.
For Super Bowl, actually, because no one wanted to leave a Super Bowl party to go on the news.
That's right.
Because here's what was going on, everybody. This was like 2009, and people didn't know what this Twitter thing was, and so they would hire people to go onto the news
and talk about
Twitter. Tell everybody what was happening on Twitter.
There it is.
Which sounds so silly now. But that's what I did, and they liked me, so they brought me back. And then when you and I met, we both talked really quickly, if you can't tell. So we were able to cover a lot of material. So that's why I think you kept calling me to come on.
Well, we drummed up an idea together because we needed something to do on the night of the presidential and the vice presidential debates. And we needed, you know, just because those, they were on our network, and you need to find a way to sort of keep the audience retained. It's a lot of what we do right now, right?
Yeah.
It's like sort of find an interesting way to grab people at the top of a video or the top of a podcast. And Anne-Marie said, well, I'm doing this thing called a war room. That she, I don't know that it was part of her job or if it was just something that she felt like doing.
It was something we did on the side. It was just because I'm such a nerd, you guys, like at my core, I'm such a nerd. And we had gotten access to these awesome analytics of this tool. We got to have a beta on, and we decided that we were going to stay up all night in the presidential debates, and we were going to produce these real-time infographics that would come out at like 3 a.m. And I would like I would head up this war room. It was like a dozen people.
This was freaking genius, particularly for somebody who was working at a local news station and needed something interesting to talk about. But I went and sat in the war room with Anne-Marie, and they, like, someone would say something on the debate, and then it was like a CIA office. There were like 8 laptops on a table, and all these kind of 21-year-old like Gen Zers or millennials or whatever we were at the time were like, oh, it's hot. It's where there's
this is like Binders of Women. I hate to bring it back up.
That was how Anne-Marie and I got to know each other, because Mitt Romney said, I have binders full of women. For those of you who don't remember.
Remember when that was controversial?
He was trying to justify his hiring policies.
Can we just take a minute and pour one out for when we all thought that was terrible?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you mean for your president?
Like, let's just binders of women. Cool. That's great. More. Here's another one. Like,
get us more binders.
Yeah. Get more binders. Like, that was controversial.
I know. It's so crazy to think about. But yeah, we had heat maps of like the top keywords. I know this sounds really silly because this is like what Twitter trending topics does now.
Back then,
but at the time, it was very cool. Yeah, it was very cool.
And so we start the newscast. They come to us. There were all of these obviously important issues to voters. We got to that in some part, but really a large part of our hit was that the internet exploded when Mitt Romney said binders full of women.
There was other things too, and but that was a big one.
But that story was kind of, it was way ahead of other people picking up and talking about that story because you had this war room.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I just thought Kim and I were talking about starting a company at that time. And we always had our eye on you. I went home and I told Kim, like, you're not going to believe what I just saw. And we were mostly just impressed with the fact, and I'm glad I remember this correctly, that you were just doing this because it was cool. You weren't doing it. True. You weren't doing this because your boss told you to do it. You were doing this because you had a genuine interest in it and you liked it.
Yeah, it was super fun. And we even did more stuff after that because we thought it was cool. We did a 24-hour Twitter party at one point in time. We had to take 4-hour shifts over a 24-hour period.
Yeah.
I was Twitter leaving at like parties. 2 in the morning, I mean, Twitter to go places parties? Just because I thought it was cool, you guys.
You guys.
Such a nerd.
And then, then you told her, you're like, yeah, I'm going to quit my job.
Mm-hmm. This is in the parking lot. I remember this. I'm like, hey, Amory, I'm quitting my job. I'm just going to make videos. And she said, that sounds great, Penn. Do you have a platform? And I said, no. She goes, your real challenge is going to be like figuring out what the platform is. And it's so funny because we did work it out by accident mostly. Mm-hmm. But like that's advice I've heard you give to people hundreds of times.
But you're right then and you're right now.
Yeah.
When Penn said, yeah, I'm just going to quit my job. First of all, we didn't say we were going to make videos. We were going to make videos for other people.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, we were going to be, people were hiring us to make videos. So we weren't quitting to like be influencers or whatever in the heck we do right now. But you said like, yeah, I'm going to kind of announce my departure with this video. We're going to shoot a Christmas video or something like that or something, mm-hmm. right?
I don't remember if I told her that. I remember her saying that nothing makes any noise unless you have an audience and a platform, because that was your job at the time, mm-hmm. right? That was what you did for a living.
And did you think he was crazy for quitting his anchor job to go make videos?
Good question.
No, because you said it was like you were doing it for companies.
Yeah. The parts that were clear to me was when we saw you in that war room, I think that once I introduced you to Kim, who was always kind of the chief executive officer of this whole thing. And I, at the time, like my main job was making the sausage, editing, sometimes writing, sometimes doing other things and like making that work out. I know that when I introduced the two of you, she latched on pretty quickly and realized your potential.
You're coming mm-hmm. home with me.
Yeah. Like that was,
But Penn, I did, when I first moved here, I did see you do the, I thought it was really funny. I watched your whole series about when you would try the Olympics.
Yeah.
I remember I was in like our little apartment and I remember watching you do all the Olympics.
Aww. Local news, man.
Yeah. It was, I was like, that's pretty good.
And then Penn and I published Christmas Jammies. So the real story is Sharon Delaney McLeod and I had already started this company called A Green Room because it was like professional training and public speaking training. And we'd started to do like social media management, whatever that meant, and video production. And so Penn quit his job to come work for that. So he was going to be the third person a part of that company. And then we did Christmas Jammies and our world sort of exploded. And even after Christmas Jammies was published, we were like, no, we're just doing videos for other people. So for the first couple of years, we really just did videos for mm-hmm. other people. Mm-hmm. But one of our first hires at Green Room.
Yeah, she was the first hire.
Anne-Marie. Yeah. She was the first hire. She was the first
either
hire.
Her or Zach. I can't remember. It was one of those two.
Yeah.
I'll never forget my boss at the time. I remember I went in to give my resignation, which I thought I was going to work there forever. And he was like, he kind of like went into dad mode. He's like, they're going to pay you, right? Like you're going to make,
we pay.
You have a family. I'm like, yeah, it's going to be great.
My first TV job, I paid $13,000 a year. And I was like, what? And he's like, we pay in sunshine. I was like, dude, I grew up in Florida. I've had enough sunshine. Yeah. I prefer money, but there was no more money. Yeah, we paid you.
You sure did.
We paid her, and then
we continue to.
Yeah, we could. But remember, there was a bit there where we
a little toy.
We were for sure. There was a bit there where we were untethered a little bit because there was Green Room, this company we're describing, which is us making videos for other people. At the same time, on the side, Kim and I were making YouTube videos. Yep. We were starting to get brand offers for our channel. And it got tricky. Like, how are we going to run this company and also our family brand at the same time? So we basically split off and said, we're going to just do our family brand exclusively. We'll do some consulting for this company, which had changed its name, which Amory stayed at that mm-hmm. company for a while until we stole her again.
Well, we didn't steal her. She left.
We hired her again because our brand had gotten enough size that we could put her full time on the Holderness family. So it was just, it was honestly, it's kind of like dragging your dog down the street.
That's me.
And it stops Aww. For a second and then you pull it again because you're not going to go any further without this dog. You're not just going to leave the dog on the road.
Did you just call Emery a dog.
Well, if we're talking about Sunny, that's one of our favorite people on the planet.
Well, that's how Max is, too. He wants to pee and sniff everything. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're
keep it moving, Max.
Keep it moving. Well,
I meant it not in a sense of the leash. This was probably a bad metaphor.
Yeah, it really...
I'm not offended, Penn. I know what you're saying. I'm glad to be drug along this journey.
It's a horrible metaphor that we're dragging you along.
Guys, this is a cry for help. If you're listening.
Penn.
I'm located at...
They're hurting me.
This has really gone off the rails.
What's a better metaphor? We everywhere we went, we were like, what's missing?
Anne-Marie.
That seemed to be the answer. Sweet. Well, yeah. Kim kept asking me to recommend people to her. And then at one point she was like, I just need someone like you. And I recommended a couple people. Some of them worked out great. But then just couldn't sustain the level you needed.
Didn't want to do it.
I finally said, Kim, why aren't you hiring me to do this job? And she thought I was kidding.
Yeah.
I was not kidding.
I was like, for realsies? And so the timing worked out perfect.
It was great. Great timing.
We are very lucky to have you. And yeah, she does just about everything. In fact, after this podcast, we need to talk about what kind of videos we're going to shoot.
We sure do.
Yeah.
I'm working on a fun script right now. I'm pretty excited about it. So
you want to give people a tease? We like doing that on these.
So it's, my boy, Eminem from the D. But it's an Eminem parody. He's going to rap about home goods. I'm not going to give it away. It's going to be a good one. Hopefully it's a good one. If it hits the cutting room floor, you guys can maybe...
We'll talk about that. Yeah. Because also, I think the most annoying part of working with us, it probably happens for everybody, is like stuff does hit the cutting room floor.
Yeah.
And even stuff that we've written and we've shot, we don't publish at all. Mm-hmm. So which goes to, sometimes you're going to see videos and you're going to be like, it's not your best. Could you imagine this stuff that doesn't get
in the graveyard?
Well, it's going to be interesting because she just said that. I love that as like a time capsule. And it's going to end up being something like Helen Mirren goes skydiving. Like that's it. Like, you know how sometimes the idea is like morph a thousand. I don't think that's going to happen with this.
But so that happens too, where we'll write a whole script or half a script and then it ends up being something totally different. But it was a springboard to get to the next thing. So I think we've all done a really good job over the years of like, we don't really let it get to us. There's an endless well of ideas.
This one I'm also on board with. So I think it's going to be close to what we're talking about.
It's going to be close.
Yeah. Well, Anne-Marie Tapke, where can people find you if they want?
Oh my gosh, Kim. Yes. Okay. Well, if people want to find me, and I do sometimes a little silly, shorts in my free time when I'm not wrangling my kids or the Holder and I. So I'm on Instagram at Anne-Marie Tapke, and it's AnnMarie, and then it's phonetically spelled TapKey, Tapke. That's not how you spell my last name, but no one can spell it. Yeah. So, and I'm also on TikTok.
Like if you're tapping a key on a computer.
Yes. And when I met my husband, that's how he explained it to me. Like you are he took a key out and he tapped it on a table and he said, tap key. And I said, oh, I get it now.
Like a car key? Oh, I was thinking like a computer key.
No, he took like a car key out.
We're from Detroit. We're not tapping it. We're tapping a Ford key.
When I met
Penn, he said, hi, I'm Penn, like the tennis ball. And I'm sorry, I didn't grow up in a country club.
Neither did I.
Didn't know what a tennis Penn. So I thought, Ben? Like a tennis ball named Ben?
That's you're like, so cool, weird. Man.
Cool. Okay.
Wow.
I love you. Now we're married and we have babies.
Yep. We sure do.
Okay.
Guys, thanks to no one's surprise, this podcast has run long.
Oh, gosh. It ran. How long is it?
We're going to say goodbye for another 20 minutes. I know. So buckle up.
Midwest goodbye. Remember when we went to the Midwest? That was fun.
That was fun. It was a good time.
It was a good time. Where else should we go?
Yeah, where should Kim and I go next, you guys? We've been to New York. We've been to the Midwest. I'm dying to get her to take me to Florida.
Florida's a little weird right now.
Yeah, Florida is a little weird. But we could go. We can go lots of places.
Yeah, we can go lots of places.
Tell us what you want us to see us do.
Where should we go? And if you have any video ideas, sometimes we need them.
Yeah. So, we're basically like Thelma and Louise.
Yeah.
Just tell us where you want us to go.
Tell us where we should go.
What crazy adventure you want us to go.
Yeah, my goal is that Anne-Marie Tapke and I have a travel blog you can come to, Penn. And we go travel and we blog and we have
we'll let you carry our luggage.
Yeah. But we're in first class and then.
That's your goal?
Yeah. And then.
Oh my gosh, you can't. No. I've been in an exit row with Penn and the daggers he was giving me because I have very short legs. And he was like, you do not deserve to be here.
I do
get, for the tall people.
I do get really pissy when I see a tiny person in an exit ride. I understand that. And I know, look, I'm sorry.
Yeah, my oldest child energy is going to be what you need.
You know, I'm a pretty abiding, tolerant person for the most part. I really am.
For the most part. Until you see a short person in the emergency exit.
And her name's Anne Marie.
If you see a short older person in the, oh, by the way, I know we're in a tangent. I saw this TikTok and it was like going viral about this elderly woman. I'm using air quote, elderly woman needed help down the stairs. And so this guy was like helping this woman down the stairs. And this woman, she's like, oh, my husband's so sweet. This elderly woman was too scared to walk down these stairs. The elderly woman was like our age. I'm like, could we not say elderly? I mean, she was maybe late 40s. She didn't have gray hair.
That doesn't sound right.
This old woman. Like, guys. Stop.
She'll snatch your man if you don't watch out, lady.
She was saying she was scared, but really.
I'm so scared. I need help.
Anyway, sorry. What were you talking about? We were trying to say goodbye.
Yeah.
We have work to do. This wasn't work. This was funsies.
Yeah. Work. If you've made it through.
If you made it through.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. And do you think Sam will listen?
No.
No.
She will now. We've said her name before too. So she has like radar. She knows if we talk about her, and she'll listen to those episodes.
But her defense was, she's like, I listen to you guys a lot.
I know.
She listens because she has to edit a lot.
But we love Sam. She's the best.
No, we'll have Sam.
You guys started saying goodbye at 1 hour and 3 minutes.
Okay.
It's now at 1 hour and 11 minutes.
I mean, so are you mad though? Are you really that mad about it?
No, I have no problem with it.
Just like behind the curtain, we are working on book number 2, and this is mostly pen writing. It's the ADHD guidebook, and it's mostly pen. But Anne Marie and I are helping because we want it to be ADHD friendly, and we're helping do like graphics and stuff like that.
Yeah, so we're letting the tangents happen.
Yeah. So
if he mentions something weird in a paragraph, there's gonna be like a call out. You can like read more about the weird thing Penn said.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be fun.
I think that's what we're gonna do with the rest of our afternoon. Good time. Is that okay, Penn?
We're here to make your dreams come true.
I know.
We're
here to support you. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, what were you saying?
I was just gonna say thanks for listening.
Oh my gosh, you guys.
You guys, we don't know how to push the stop button. It's so funny.
It's so far away. Let's don't hit it.
Really?
Don't hit it.
You know what'd be easier? Let's just talk longer.
Did you guys watch The Good Place? Did you watch The Good Place?
I didn't watch past season 1. I know that makes me terrible. Here's the thing. Okay, we want to make a video about this. When people get so mad at you
for not watching your show.
Yeah, like I was ready. I was like actually tensing up a little bit because I was like, oh, Kim's going to yell at me. I know. I watched all The Good Place.
You didn't watch The Good Place. Anyway, because there's like when she's hitting the button and no. So that's what the button's like. Anyway.
Sorry, I've been pitching that script for 3 years now, by the way.
I know.
At first, we were going to try to get like Dude Dad and Charlie Barron's, but then like get the guys back together. But everybody is so hard. It's so hard for everybody. So I think we're going to try to do it.
It needs to end in someone breaking like a bottle.
Yeah, it escalates.
Or like a full glass table.
Pointing it at someone and someone overturning a table because there is a tremendous amount of rage from some of my friends when I tell them that I've never seen
blank.
One woman who I'm very good friends with who's been on our podcast has said she's not talking to me until I've watched every episode of The Americans.
That is a long series to get through. By the way, I've seen most of it. It's very good. It's not digestible.
So
you gotta sit down and watch
it. I think we should do like whatever the next buzzworthy series is. We could do it with Jury Duty. Because I tried to get my mom to watch Jury Duty because she was like wanting something to watch. And she didn't click with it. And I'm like, Mom, you have to.
After episode 1, don't you hate when you hear yourself saying that? You're like, well, the first couple episodes are rough, but once you get through those.
Ironically, the show that causes the most vitriol among my friends and acquaintances, if you haven't watched it, is Ted Lasso. People get absolutely...
So maybe we can peg it because Ted Lasso is wrapping
up. Ted Lasso is a good one. Okay, actually, it's really funny. I don't want to out my friend Rick real quick.
Rick.
Hey, Rick. Oh my God, he's going to die that I'm talking about this. We made a list, actually. We were drinking the other night, and we made a list of things Rick needs to watch. So you guys tell me, I'm going to read this list to you out of my notes app. This is totally unscripted. Rick has not seen Wolf of Wall Street.
That's okay.
I saw the first half.
That's okay. That. He has not seen Birdcage.
You should probably watch that.
Okay. He has not seen The Big Short.
Really good movie. I mean, I'm not mad, but it's a really good movie.
He also has not seen Jury Duty.
Needs to see that.
Although, haven't you soured?
I've soured on Jury Duty.
Oh, because of like the psychological stuff.
Yeah, the poor guy. Yeah.
I know. Anyway. We feel bad. Maybe we can get him on the podcast.
Yeah.
So maybe let's put a pen in that.
Also, have you seen The Nice Guys?
Yes.
No. Yes.
The one with Will Ferrell?
Yes. That's another one.
But that's not a... What's wrong with you? You haven't seen this
movie. Now that I'm reading the list,
how much did you have to drink?
How much were you drinking?
What did you have to drink?
Too much.
Seriously, what? Like, how many beers in were you?
I don't know.
You haven't watched Nice Guys?
I haven't seen Fight Club, which people come after me for.
It's fine.
But yeah, these are a lot of guy movies, actually, now that I'm reading them out loud.
Yeah.
So maybe not that big of a deal. Max, maybe just cut that.
No.
Keep it in.
Leave it.
Okay, guys, we've been saying goodbye for 15 minutes now. Okay.
Everyone turned us off a long time
ago. I know. Yeah. This is just for us.
Check out our merch store.
Check out the holderinhisfamily.com.
We got what are the words?
Brand new merch to try on.
Can you tell we've been busy? Because we also have a podcast and a blog.
And the podcast goes forever.
We don't know how to
So Kim and I are going to go downstairs and just get to work. We're going to leave Anne Marie up here just to talk for a little bit longer.
Hey guys, this is the ASMR version of the Midwest Neighbor. How are you doing?
All right, we got to go.
Okay, bye.
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 Bye, Steve.
Bye, Steve.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.